There are two groups of people in the world today that this lesson is for. The first group, those people that have solved the biggest public health problem of the 21st century for themselves. They figured out how to be in love with wanting to improve their physical health outcomes. The second group, by far the largest, those people that are disengaged and have no deep involvement in wanting to improve their physical health outcomes and are at risk of sickness, disease, and premature death. How do we get people from the second group into the first group? That's what today's lesson is all about. So let's get started with the new science of physical health. Hi everybody, welcome to this episode called The Algorithm, the number one health biometric in the world. Here's the subtitle, a brand new clinically validated formula that 100% guarantees you'll be able to outsmart complications from obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic disease. I've got a question. There's a link inside the lesson notes to this episode, and at the title of the web page that you'll be taken to, it has this question. Do you want a new health biometric that is better than measuring all of these things combined? Calories, steps, distance, time, recovery, pace, sleep score, blood oxygen, ECG, hydration, frequency, and frequency of activity. That's a lot of stuff. How can one brand new, you're about to find out, clinically validated health biometric, how can that outperform all of those types of biometrics that I just went through, which are common measurements found in today's smartwatch technology? We're going to talk about an algorithm. Now, before I set this scene correctly, or in order to set this scene correctly, I want to touch on an algorithm because maths is not my strong suit. But I want to talk to you in just a moment about the algorithm as it relates to developing positive molecular and physiological health adaptations inside your body and large cohorts of people in the community that you live in. And those molecular and physiological health adaptations that we're going to talk about in just a moment that are caused by this health algorithm, this new biometric that I'll guarantee you've never heard of, those adaptations are created and are more powerful than all those biometrics that I just mentioned. But let's just set it up properly. An algorithm is a set of instructions or rules that usually a computer program follows. In this case, the health algorithm, the health biometric I'm going to talk about, is a software, a computer software. Well, not so much a computer, although unless you count a smartwatch as being a computer, which it is. It's a computer program that follows to solve a particular problem or complete a specific task. It's well-defined, a step-by-step procedure that outlines the actions required to accomplish a goal, usually expressed in formal language that a computer can understand. That's an algorithm. So they can perform, they used to do these things, perform a wide range of functions from sorting and searching data to complex operations such as image and speech recognition. The big thing today, of course, is ChatGPT. As I record this, it's only a few months since it's been released. ChatGPT 3 and ChatGPT 4. If you don't know what those are, we'll have other episodes and lessons coming up about that as it relates to the new science of physical health and what you're going to hear about my Outsmart classroom, where you learn to live longer. So the essential part of computer programming and the backbone of many software applications are algorithms. So good algorithms, they're efficient, they're reliable all the time. They produce the same result and they're easy to understand, make them an essential tool for software developers and computer scientists. So look, here's a simple example. In mathematics or in math, there is a process of long division. Long division, the step-by-step procedure that most of us know, is to dividing two numbers, usually a larger number by a smaller one, to obtain the quotient and the remainder. This algorithm in long division involves dividing the digits of the dividend by the divisor one at a time. So starting from the left and then multiplying the quotient obtained by the divisor to subtract it from the current dividend to get the remainder. So the process of long division is something that most people, my son is in the eighth grade and he's learned long division by now. Most of us have been able to understand what that algorithm is. But there's also algorithms that are created by PhDs in areas like exercise physiology, PhDs in vascular medicine, PhDs in cardiology, PhDs in public health. Let me give you one that you may have heard of, an algorithm in the area of health outcomes. So this one is called an algorithm for the maximum heart rate, MHR. It's an algorithm to be able to help give people the correct exercise prescription. By the way, this is not the algorithm that you're about to hear of that is the new number one biometric in the world. I'll get to that in a second. This is an example of an algorithm in health, the maximum heart rate algorithm, from many years past. So this is what happens. You can calculate your maximum heart rate by using a formula taking 220 minus your age. At the time that I record this, I'm just a hair's breadth away from 57. So when I turn 57, my maximum heart rate, the maximum number that my heart rate would go to if I was exercising flat out, is 163. Why? Because it's 220 minus my age. 220 minus 57, 163. So to determine your target heart rate during physical activity, moderate intensity exercise, is 50 to 70% of your maximum heart rate. So the formula for that is your target heart rate equals your max, in brackets, your maximum heart rate times 0.5. And then to determine your target heart rate for vigorous intensity exercise, which is 75 to 80%, the formula is maximum heart rate times 0.7 to maximum heart rate times 0.85. So you have these ranges based on a percentage. So the idea of the maximum heart rate algorithm, it's a formula-based approach to exercise prescription that takes into account usually your age and your fitness level. And the algorithm provides a simple and practical way to calculate a person's maximum target heart rate. So I'll give you an example. Today, I did two 10-minute HIIT classes off a program that I, like a training program that I subscribe to. Now, those two 10-minute HIIT classes, my average heart rate for the first 10-minute block was 148, and my average heart rate for the second 10-minute block was 146 beats per minute. Remember, I said my maximum heart rate's 163 beats a minute because I'm 57 years old, 220 minus your age. So, on average, I was functioning quite high for both of those two 10-minute blocks. I was achieving somewhere around 88% to 90% of my maximum heart rate during my physical activity. But then the question that's derived from that is that enough, those two 10-minute physical activities, these HIIT classes that I did today, are they enough to actually create what we call molecular and physiological health adaptations? And the answer to the question is, I don't know. If I just take that original health algorithm, the maximum heart rate and target heart rate algorithm. But I'm going to introduce you to Professor Ulrich Wisloff. And you can look him up on Google. It's phenomenal. I'll give you a little bit of background. He's from Norway, and he's invented the number one algorithm in medical history that guarantees you'll become classified as being medically healthy. And the consequence of that, the effect of that, is that you'll be at the lowest clinical risk possible from sickness, disease, and premature death. That's the objective of using the algorithm. And that's what it does. If you use this algorithm to its maximum capacity for you or the large cohort of people you might be involved with in your community, every 7 days, you will be able to achieve a result that includes these things. Now, when I say the maximum capacity, what Professor Wislof has done with this algorithm related to, you're about to find out the evidence behind this, but I'll get to that in a second. I'm jumping ahead. What he's done is he's converted the algorithm into a point scoring system, what I call a health impact points. He gives it another name, but these health impact points are once you reach 100 points over a rolling 7 days and maintain the 100 points, that's the maximum use of the algorithm. And I'll talk more about what this algorithm does, but here are some basic things that he has proven after 20 years of medical research. Professor Wislof leads a team of 55 researchers up in Norway. I'll get to that in a second too. And once again, I'm jumping the gun. That's an expression we have in Australia, which is like, my mind is racing with so many great things to share with you. I'm getting ahead of myself. So here's what the algorithm will do. Proven, guaranteed in 100% of users, 100% of the time, who use the algorithm to its maximum capacity, this health impact score. That's the algorithm. 25% lower risk of premature death. A 30% lower risk of a cardiovascular event and cardiovascular disease, things like heart attacks and strokes. A 40% decrease, lower risk of hypertension. That's high blood pressure. Massively dangerous. We've got a whole mini-series with Professor Alta Shoot, a South African professor now living in Australia, who is a worldwide expert in hypertension. But using this algorithm from Professor Wislof, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'll get to how you get access to this algorithm at the end of this short lesson. A 15% lower risk of type 2 diabetes, between 15% up to, Professor Wislof told me, 54% decrease in the risk of type 2 diabetes. A 25% lower risk of anxiety and depression. Wow. 25% lower risk of premature death. 30% lower risk of cardiovascular disease. 30% decrease in the risk of complications from obesity. 40% lower risk of hypertension. Up to a 54% lower risk of type 2 diabetes and a 25% lower risk of anxiety and depression. That is powerful. So why don't I do this? Why don't I let you hear from the inventor of the algorithm, the health impact software, Professor Ulrich Wislof himself. And then I'll come back and I'll give you a brief bio of him. But in this little short 2 minute or so clip that you're about to hear, it's myself and Professor Wislof discussing this algorithm that he invented, the health impact score that he's taken over 20 years. And you'll just about fall over when I share with you how much evidence is behind this algorithm. Now, this is the most impactful and powerful part of this health impact formula, health impact score, the algorithm that Professor Wislof has invented. So let's do this. Hit the transition bell. About 2 minutes of myself and Professor Wislof in his lovely Norwegian accent discussing the algorithm. And then I'll be back because I want to share with you a brief bio of just how well-credentialed he is. Here's Professor Wislof right now.
I mean, pi means that, or what I have been wondering about the last 20 years was how can we quantify physical activity in an understandable way, because the health authorities, I just had this discussion with the health authorities in Norway. You have to do vigorous exercise, 150 minutes per week, but what is vigorous?
Yes.
Nobody understands that.
No, they don't.
And and so on. So a long story short was that everyone agrees that heart rate reflects your body and your kid's body's response to any physical activity.
Yeah.
And then I thought, can we make something meaningful out of heart rate that is related to health outcome? Because heart rate is also meaningless if you can't relate it to something.
Totally.
Yeah. So we had this, I had this idea, and we tested 5,000 people on a treadmill in a health survey. 5,000. So it's a crazy job. We used 1.5 years to do this, and they were aged 13 to 90 years. We were able to make this, or we were studying the heart rate pattern over a week, and we tried to, can we link that to a health score or a health status? And we were able to do that. So we observed that those that had a certain heart rate pattern, they had good cardiovascular health, and those that did not, or had a different heart rate pattern over a week, they had poor cardiovascular health. And then we graded this into a score from 0 to 100 and above.
Yeah.
And we saw that, so that was the PI points.
Tell people what PI stands for.
That's personal activity intelligence.
Yep. Did you come up with that? Because that's the best thing I've ever heard.
I didn't come up with that name. I thought it was stupid in the beginning. No, I like it, actually. Anyway, we called it physical activity index or personal activity index. But anyway, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like it. I was captured by it. Personal activity intelligence. I thought it was good. So
yeah, I like it now as well.
Okay, that is good. That's a good thing. So it is the software that you have, which is now available. And did I read somewhere that the mobile application, has been downloaded like 9 million times or something? Is that right?
It's probably more because you have a lot of users in China. So I think it's more than 20 million.
Keep going.
Yeah. No, and the good thing with this scoring system was that we could go back to the 80s because we had the data in people from the 80s, in the Hunt data. So we could plot those data and we could follow these individuals, because in Norway we have this complete mortality follow-up. So we know that he died from this and her died from that. So we could follow them, and we saw that those that stayed above 100, they lived much longer than those that... had below 100 PI at on a regular basis. So that's a good thing. And then we developed the app, and the good thing with the PI Health app is that it's as long as you have a wearable that shares your heart rate data to the app, then you can use the app for free, which is the main reason this can become a new world standard for physical activity tracking. Because if only Apple had it, it would have been lost, because then Fitbit users couldn't use it and so on.
Yeah, Apple Watch. I use an Apple Watch. And here's the interesting thing from a school-age child perspective, and I know this is common across schools across the world because I've been doing surveys with all those teachers that have been joining my program. On average right now, somewhere around 30% to 35% of children have a heart rate wearable in the home that they can get access to. And I found out by surveying my children that almost none of them have any... What you said earlier in this discussion about heart rate data doesn't tell you anything about health, I asked all these teenagers, 13 to 16, what do you know about interpreting the dashboard from these health apps? There wasn't a single kid out of 1,200 kids who could tell me what it meant, what any of the apps meant, like the steps. They couldn't tell me how that impacts the health, the calories, nothing. And that's why I was so thrilled to go. So all I have to do is hit 100 PI points on a rolling basis over 7 days. That's how I'm using the app. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And then you can plan your training sessions. You don't have to exercise every day, which is... a lot of people that get the steps messages, they say that you didn't go 10,000 steps today, and then people that really need to exercise, they feel that they are failing. So, and I also completely agree with you that most apps or most variables actually presents a lot of data just because it's possible to measure it. They don't tell you what it means for your health, which is insane.
I mean, I know my Apple Watch, and I love my Apple Watch, but it tells me nothing about, well, is it reducing the risk of the number one killer in the world, cardiovascular disease, and the number one cause of premature sickness? And I go, hang on a second, cardiovascular disease will kill 18 million people this year. It's number one. Number two is cancer. If I raise my PI score, Now, I thought that it would reduce my risk by 25%, but I read in your presentation that you sent me, it will reduce it by like 30% or something like that, or 38%. Is that right?
Yeah, it depends on the age and condition. So, I mean, if you compare type 2 diabetics with 100 pi, with a type 2 diabetics without 100 pi, it's about 50% risk reduction also. So it's huge numbers, and it's more effective than any medicine you can buy in a drugstore.
That is the message through my brand, if you like, my project, the My Child's Healthy Life Project. That's the message I want to get through, because one of the things that struck me, you were a contributing author to the 2016 scientific statement from the American Heart Association about CRF. Is that correct? Your name was
that's
on there?
Correct.
Yeah. Which to me is like, I mean, I used to work for the National Heart Foundation of Australia. I was a fundraising manager and education officer when I left university there. And I know the kind of research that goes, that the peer-reviewed status that goes into publishing a statement like that is off the chart.
That's quite crazy, but I guess there it's we were a really good group of scientists from worldwide, more or less. So it was an honor to be asked to contribute, and I think all authors in that statement were honored to be asked, and everyone did a really, really great job. So.
What I saw in your presentation, I've been through all the slides, and I want to go through it in more in depth again, because it's so much rich content from an education point of view. But what struck me the most is, in Australia, health and physical education are one subject. In some countries, they're not. But the one slide that struck me was this. And tell me whether, from a teaching, a layperson's point of view, so you're a professor, you're a professor of exercise phys and cardiology, is that right? Or I can't quite remember your background.
Also, I'm a little bit of everything, but I'm an exercise physiologist, but I have my PhD in exercise physiology and cardiac molecular biology. So it's my background is that I came from my master degree. I used world-class cross-country skiers, Olympics, world champions, and came up with a very effective endurance program for those guys. And then I applied for a PhD at the university.
So that was he and I discussing a little while ago in a meeting when it was a Zoom call. He was in Norway. I was here in Australia. He's coming out to Australia this year as I record this. I can't wait to catch up with him. I've got something really cool planned that's really going to revolutionize the way in which health education is taught. But that's for another time. Later in the year, stay tuned. Professor Wisloff is the head of the Cardiac Exercise Research Group at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology in Norway. He's the leading expert in the field of exercise physiology and cardiology and has published over 300 scientific articles on the topic. Professor Wisloff has conducted extensive research on the health benefits of physical activity, including the effects of high-intensity interval-type training, HIIT, on cardiovascular health, and the use of the correct dose of physical activity, that's my words, the correct dose, I love that statement, as a treatment for heart disease, the number one cause of sickness, disease, and premature death, heart attacks and strokes for both men and women in virtually every country in the world, every country. He's also been involved in the development of this algorithm. He's the person that's invented it, the health impact score, which is based on his research on the relationship between your heart rate graph and the molecular and physiological health adaptations that are either positive or negative. If they're positive, low risk of a cardiovascular event, low risk of premature death, low risk of obesity complications. If they're negative, high risk of all those things. Professor Wisloff, widely recognized for his contributions to the field of exercise physiology, has received numerous awards and honors for his work, including the European Society of Cardiology's Outstanding Achievement Award in 2018, and he was awarded, a gold medal from the King of Norway for his services to the field. Now, let me talk about in more detail. Now, he's an outstanding human being, by the way. Let me talk about here now the algorithm and the molecular and physiological health adaptations that happen inside your body if you use it. The algorithm, the health impact formula, health impact score. If you don't use it, and I'll show you how to get access at the end of this lesson, if you don't use it, you won't know whether you're creating these adaptations. So here's the question I've got. What prevents your body from developing complications related to obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic disease? What prevents it from developing complications are positive health adaptations at a molecular and physiological level. Now, inside the Outsmart classroom, that there's a link inside the lesson notes here to the website for that, and also to the algorithm webpage. Inside the Outsmart classroom that I've created was 18 critical frameworks that convert complex medical research into simple lessons. One of those frameworks is called the correct dose. And out of that dose, so it's a diagram. And off that diagram, I've got strategies and tactics built into 11 lessons that will, 11 short lessons, that tell you what the correct dose of physical activity is that will cause positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. It's all based off the algorithm created by Professor Wisloff. So the correct dose of physical activity refers to what Professor Wisloff was telling me in that short excerpt of my interview with him that I gave you a minute ago. So he, Wisloff and his team from the Norwegian University, have spent 20 years developing this algorithm that converts your heart rate graph or your heart rate pattern. Imagine looking at your heart rate graph from midnight to midnight on one single day, on a daily basis. It converts it into a point system so that your heart rate graph each day can have this linear correlation with molecular and physiological health adaptations or improvements that are happening inside your body. So if you get a certain heart rate, I go into this in the outside in the Outsmart classroom in a lot of detail over these 11 mini lessons. I show you how your heart rate graph creates either positive or negative molecular and physiological health adaptations. So what are these adaptations? Once again, that's inside the Outsmart classroom. But let me give you in this lesson, because I'm about to wrap up soon, one example of these molecular and physiological health adaptations and what they look like. I'm going to introduce you to two words you are almost certain to never have heard of because they're not taught at school. And here they are, arteriogenesis and angiogenesis. Arteriogenesis and angiogenesis, trying to say that too quickly, are two different processes that can improve your heart function and lower your risk of a catastrophic cardiovascular event. Angiogenesis is the process of forming new blood vessels from pre-existing ones. So in the heart, angiogenesis can increase the blood supply to the heart muscle, improving its function and reducing the risk of something called ischemia, which is a lack of oxygen. If you get ischemia of the heart, basically you can get necrosis or death of a part of the heart muscle that never repairs itself, by the way. So that's what angiogenesis does. It can also improve the growth of something called collateral blood vessels, which can improve, or can provide, sorry, an alternate route for blood flow in case of a blockage in a blood vessel. So think about this. You have the correct dose of physical activity measured by this algorithm from Professor Wisloff. It can create angiogenesis inside your heart. And if you do start to get a blockage, because you've grown new blood vessels, it can continue to supply oxygen to the heart, where if you didn't have angiogenesis happening, the growth of new blood vessels, you get a blockage in a blood vessel, a major blood vessel of the heart, big risk of dying. And the big risk of dying is because you get a lack of, basically, a lack of blood supply to the heart. That's what the problem is. That's what it becomes. So here's the second one. An adaptation as a result of using this algorithm. This is only two adaptations out of about 30. Arteriogenesis, on the other hand, is the process of remodeling existing arteries to increase their diameter and blood flow capacity. This process is particularly important in the case of something called coronary artery disease. the narrowing of the coronary arteries, the major arteries in the heart, and going up to the brain, that can lead to reduced blood flow to the heart muscle or to the brain. Arteriogenesis can increase the blood flow, because you expand in diameter, bigger pipe, to the heart muscle by opening up alternate pathways for blood flow. So it reduces this risk, once again, of this thing called ischemia, death of the heart tissue, and improves your heart function. Both angiogenesis and arteriogenesis, once again, trying to say that too fast, are complex processes. They involve the interplay of various growth factors, things called signaling pathways and cellular interactions. Now, the thing that can create angiogenesis and arteriogenesis is the correct dose of physical activity. And what ends up happening, I'll just take this even one step deeper about this adaptation, and then I'll get out of talking about adaptations and wrap up this lesson. Angiogenesis, this process of forming new blood vessels from pre-existing ones, improves something called your stroke volume of your heart and the cardiac output of your heart muscle, the amount of blood that comes out of your heart with one pump. That reduces the risk of cardiovascular events such as heart attack. So in the heart, angiogenesis increases, this is so cool, the number and density of blood vessels within inside the heart muscle, which in turn improves this delivery of oxygen and nutrients to the muscle. This increased blood supply can help the heart work more efficiently because you've got more oxygen in there, so it doesn't have to work as hard. And an increased stroke volume. Now, stroke volume is the amount of blood pumped by the heart with each beat. So imagine one beat, an increase in the volume of blood. That's more efficient. That's what you want. And it also increases cardiac output, the amount of blood pumped by the heart per minute. This can reduce the workload on the heart and lower the risk of a cardiovascular event, such as a heart attack. So my father dies at age 46 from a sudden massive heart attack. He definitely would have had a poor stroke volume and a poor cardiac output. Why? Because he hadn't developed, through using the algorithm, this health impact score from Professor Wisloff, he hadn't developed angiogenesis or arteriogenesis. So here's another thing about angiogenesis. One last thing. This is amazing. This is just like two health adaptations out of about 30 that I talk about inside. I convert this complex medical research inside the Outsmart classroom into simple lessons. Angiogenesis plays this role in the formation of something called collateral blood vessels, which provide this alternate route for blood flow in case of the blockage. And these collateral blood vessels help maintain blood flow to the heart if someone's unlucky enough to have a heart attack. So improves your chances of recovery and even decreases your chances of it happening. 100 health impact points from the algorithm from Professor Wisloff over a rolling 7 days will cause 100% of users to develop angiogenesis and arteriogenesis. This health adaptation of angiogenesis and arteriogenesis, as I've said, there are only two of about 30 that I walk you through inside two of my frameworks from the Outsmart Classroom. These two frameworks are called the Impact Quadrant and the Molecular Benefit Map, diagrams you've never seen before because I've only released them inside the Outsmart Classroom. And inside each of these two diagrams, these frameworks, are a set of molecular and physiological health adaptations that explain what happens to the human body if you generate the correct dose of physical activity over a rolling 7 days. So, for me, after 37 years of teaching, I know for a fact the average person has never come across these health adaptations explained simply. Not knowing about them and not understanding the impact quadrant and the molecular benefit map from my classroom is one of the key reasons that people have never solved the biggest public health crisis, emphasis on the word crisis, of the 21st century, for themselves or the community they live in. The algorithm created from the team in Norway helps people to reduce complications from obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, type 2 diabetes, and metabolic disease. Those four things are the outcomes of the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century. So let's get this lesson wrapped up. What is the evidence for this algorithm that I've spoken about, this health impact score, this formula? Okay, the world's biggest heart study is called the Hunt Study from, funnily enough, up in Norway. It's a large-scale population-based study that has been conducted since the mid-1980s, back when I was about 18 years of age. The study has collected extensive data on 57 next month. This study, the Hunt Study, has collected extensive data on health and lifestyle factors from over 120,000 participants, making it one of the largest ever in the world. This health impact score, the algorithm from Professor Wisloff and his team, comes from the work from the Hunt Study originally. One of the key findings of the Hunt Study was the amount of physical activity needed to reduce the risk of premature mortality, premature death, premature mortality. So, and that amount, the correct dose, was highly individualized and depended on a variety of factors, such as age and gender and fitness level and race. But in response to this finding of the Hunt, from the Hunt Study, the researchers from Professor Wisloff and his team developed this algorithm, this health impact score, as a way to provide a personalized measure of physical activity that's linked to help improve health outcomes. The health impact score is based on the Hunt Study, where, as I've said before earlier in this lesson, get at least 100 points associated on a rolling 7 days. It gets you to have the lowest possible risk of premature mortality. So it's based on, the algorithm is based on your individual heart rate response to physical activity. So what happens if you and I both walk up the stairs together? Let's say you're 35 and I'm 57. What happens to my heart rate as a percentage of my maximum compared to your heart rate as a percentage of your maximum? And they're different for different ages. I might achieve the same amount of heartbeats that you do. We might both go 130 beats a minute walking up a long flight of steep stairs. But 130 is much harder for my body than you if you're 35 years of age. So that would signal that my heart is functioning better. I won't go into that much more, but it means that my body has adapted more. So another key study for the health impact score, the algorithm, that gave evidence to this score of the algorithm was published in the Journal of the Prestige American Heart Association in 2018. This other study followed over 20,000 participants. First 120, this one 20,000, for up to, amazingly, 25 years. And over that 25 years, it found that those people who maintained a weekly score of at least 100 health impact points from the algorithm had a 20 to 30% lower risk of premature death compared to those who didn't do it. This association remains significant, even adjusting for other factors such as age and gender and health status. One final study, published in the Journal of Sports Medicine and Physical Fitness in 2019, found that the health impact score as a measure of physical activity was more effective, this is back to the title of this lesson, than traditional measures such as steps and calories burned in predicting catastrophic cardiovascular events and cardiovascular disease. So, there's a lot to this algorithm. Professor Wisloff, in my discussion with him, said to me that it's now been validated, clinically validated, the algorithm that he invented, the health impact score, on over 700,000 people collectively worldwide. It's the biggest ever that's ever been done in scientific research history. So, how do you get this algorithm and simply use it? How do you track whether or not your gardening, your walking the dog, your physical activity in the gym, your physical activity at home, your physical activity in your job, all combined over 7 days, how do you convert, get this algorithm simply and just look at a score on your watch and see if you're hitting 100 or not? Here's how you do it. It's available when you enroll in my Outsmart classroom. There's a link in the lesson notes which will take you to the algorithm webpage, and then you can get access to the Outsmart classroom directly from there. I decided some time ago, after teaching more, this is why I did this, after teaching more than 40,000 lessons in health and physical education and having to adjust and adapt and improve my teaching, that if I just gave this algorithm away without creating what are called deep knowledge and deep engagement, and by the way, those two things are education terms that signal learners want to succeed with the topic that they are studying at the time. Doesn't matter what the topic. So if we don't create these two things, deep engagement and deep knowledge, the chances of someone using the algorithm over the long term decrease significantly. Trust me, after my 37 years of face-to-face lessons with students in the classroom, I know that providing frameworks, strategies, and tactics are only half of the formula. The long-term key that unlocks the desire to want to be physically healthy in the first place is creating deep knowledge and deep engagement. Now, by the way, I label the lack of desire to want to be physically healthy as the biggest public health problem of the 21st century. Emphasis on the word problem. Earlier, I mentioned the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century as being complications from obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic disease. What the biggest problem, though, emphasis on that word problem now, is the lack of desire to want to improve your personal physical health status. And that problem is spread to well over 80% of adults worldwide. They just don't have the desire to because they're leading these lives which don't weave it into them naturally. So in this lesson, I just wanted to give an introduction to the algorithm. And that's all I've done so far. But if you want access to it, you want to understand more about it right now with one click. If you truly want to outsmart sickness, disease, and premature death, you need to use this biometric over and above everything else you've ever heard of or used previously. If you don't, you're guessing. You have no way of knowing if your body has developed or is developing health, the sufficient positive molecular and physiological health adaptations that create a linear decrease in the complications associated with chronic diseases. So in order to help launch this algorithm, I've created a web page dedicated to it. Click on the link that goes with these lesson notes. You're going to find a mini video web class and a lot more content, as well as a direct link to the Outsmart classroom itself. And if you decide to go ahead and enroll in the Outsmart classroom, you'll get instant access to this algorithm and you'll begin to know within the first 7 days where your body is at when it comes to developing, generating, creating molecular and physiological health adaptations that drive down your risk of premature death. I truly wish that someone would have given access to this algorithm 5 years before my father passed away all those years ago, about 33 years ago now. It would have changed what I call his physical health destiny. He would have begun to develop positive molecular and physiological health adaptations like arteriogenesis and angiogenesis that I mentioned before, and a whole bunch more. Those things would have driven his body away from a high risk of premature death. But sadly, you can't go back in time, and sadly, this algorithm wasn't available when he passed away at age 46 in 1989, when I was just a young man. From what our family and I thought at the time was a sudden massive heart attack. Today, I know for a fact, after having worked with over 100 PhDs in my career now, last decade of it, in areas like cardiology, exercise physiology, vascular medicine, public health, and many more, I know that his heart attack wasn't sudden at all. His body had been developing precursor conditions that were extremely negative molecular and physiological health adaptations. My last call to action for you is this. Take what my father never had the opportunity to get his hands on. Click on the link to the website that goes with this lesson note, these lesson notes, and start discovering more about the algorithm that could very well save your life. See you on that page shortly.